Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning on this New Year's Day 2019. And if I say it enough times, I'll be writing it correctly. Instead of 2018, I'll be doing 2019. Please join me as we sing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549, the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 632. Happy is the man who walks not the way of the wicked, who treads not the highway of sin, nor sits in the seat of the cynic, but he delights in the Lord's instruction and studies that teaching both day and night. He becomes like a tree planted by rivers of water, bearing its fruit in due season, with leaves that are always green. In all that he does, he succeeds. Not so the wicked, for he is like the wind-blown chaff. Therefore the wicked cannot stand in judgment, nor sinners in the righteous assembly. The Lord watches over the path of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads nowhere. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 382, Be Still My Soul, hymn number 382.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will.
Begin the new year, one of the things that I put out yesterday, in fact, was may we welcome what has been, what is, and what we hope will be. And I hope that that is our prayer. I hope that that is how we live our life. May we welcome what has been, what is, and what we hope will be. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you've just given us this wonderful time on this New Year's Day 2019 to come and worship you. And Lord, I can't think of a better way to begin a new year than the worship in this chapel with fellow believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is so good. And God, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives. And Lord, as we begin this new year, God, I would ask that as we pray for the things that we are trying to overcome, the challenges that we are facing, that we will welcome the things in our lives that have been in the past, that is in the present. And Lord, we are looking to you for the hope in the future, because we know that you care about all of those things. And Lord, we are so thankful for them, even in the most difficult times as we review them in our lives. But God, somehow, you give us the strength and the courage to praise you for those things. And Lord, we think of the needs of family members and of friends. We think of the needs of the patients here throughout this medical center, the staff that is working, Lord, the families that will be visiting. And God, in the same way, as one accord, that they too will welcome what has been, what is, and what they hope will be, and that they would put their trust and confidence in you in all things. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 386, I Am Weak, But Thou Art Strong. Hymn number 386, I Am Weak, But Thou Art Strong. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, beginning with verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Amen. Let us pray. God, we just praise you for this time of worship that we can have. And God, I would ask that we would just continue that time of worship and praise, and that you would help me say the things that we all need to hear so that we can draw closer to you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is the first day of the new year. And I need to ask, as I asked myself and as I asked Lynn this morning already, what will be your New Year's resolution? Or what should be your New Year's resolution? Perhaps that's even a better question. What should be? What should be your New Year's resolution? And from a spiritual point of view, from our walk in faith with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our New Year's resolution for that should be that we walk in truth in all things. So I want us to think about this day, New Year's Day, and it is my hope and prayer that all of us have a beginning in truth, not just on the first day of the new year, but every day in our lives, that we begin our day with truth. And what does that represent? What does that truth represent for us as followers of Jesus Christ? And Jesus made it very clear here that he came and was born to be that truth. He came into the world to testify to the truth. We just got done celebrating Christmas and Christ's birth and all of those good things that go along with it. But the reason why Christ was born was that he came into the world to testify to the truth. The truth about who he was, being the Son of God. Being the Son of God. But then we're faced with that question. What is truth? How do we begin with truth on a daily basis? How do we begin with truth for the new year? Well, we're doing the right thing by beginning with truth by coming to worship here on this day. Because we are doing so with the hope that we believe in a truth that should be represented in all the different things in our lives. And one of the things that I've been doing recently is I've been listening to an audiobook, and as I've been walking back and forth to different locations, and sometimes when I'm driving in my car, I listen to this audiobook, and one of the things that it's talking about is the representation of who we are in our lives. And it begins in the preface of the book by talking about the whole idea of those things that are external, those things that are internal, and those things that are eternal. And I can't think of a better way to represent what truth should be in our lives by looking at it from those three perspectives. What is external? What is internal? And what is eternal? And if we can take the truth of Jesus Christ and incorporate it into those three aspects of our lives, I think that we will have it. I think that we will be made complete. And we talked about on the last Sunday of the year about the whole idea of being complete in Christ, not wanting anything in our lives. And incorporating that truth for the whole purpose for us to be mature in Christ and for us to be made complete. I think the external part of our lives, I think we can do that pretty easy because As you grow up, you learn how to play the game, you learn how to put on your game face, you learn how to respond and react to certain situations where other people are don't think of anything or they don't suspect anything about you, they won't be able to identify the true feelings that are taking place in your life. And I think as most people, we do that pretty good. We put on that facade, we put on those things that are fake, because it's very easy for us to fake the external in our lives. What's really taking place, we can fake it. We can, if you will, present ourselves in such a way that everything is okay and everything is great and everything is okay with me and everything's okay with God and everything's okay with my family. But inside, we know that those things are not true, and then it's just a lie. So the external things, I think we do pretty well. We can put on that smile face. In fact, I have a hard time trusting anyone who's always smiling. You know people like that, that they're always smiling? You're like, come on, man. You're always smiling. I know that I can't trust you because I know that there's got to be something going on in your life. Show me some real emotions. Show me who you really are. And so the external part, I think we got that. I think we understand when we're faking it and when we're not being real. And there are certain circumstances where we have to fake it, right? Because the reality of our lives is we travel in different circles with different type of people, and sometimes we just have to fake it because, you know what, we just don't trust everybody who's around us and what they might see in us and how they might use that against us. And that's part of that reality that we live in. So I think the external part, we know what that is. We can handle that. But then we get into the internal part, the part in our lives that nobody knows about, the part in our lives in which we keep the deepest, darkest secrets that we have, the part in our lives that the only other person who knows really, truly who we are is God. Because I think a lot of times in the internal perspective within our own lives, sometimes we don't even know who we are. So I don't even want to put me in that category, and I don't want to put you in that category, because internally, sometimes that when we take place and we do certain things and we try to explain it to ourselves, we're still left with a blank because we just don't sometimes understand the things that we do, regardless of how much self-awareness that we have. But God understands. God understands those things that transpire in our lives that are truly our innermost part of our being in terms of who we are. We can try to give an explanation to it. We can try to say it's this or that or the other thing. But really, the only person who truly knows us is God. And how do we know that? Well, I know that when I want certain things in my life and I've prayed for certain things in my life and God said, no, I'm not going to have those certain things in my life, and I was disappointed and I was upset about it, but yet I knew down the road that God would be right, right? So, right, we don't really know ourselves, do we? Because we pray for certain things, we ask for certain things because of our emotions and because of our feelings and our pride and all of those kind of things, and God says no to those things, and we argue with God about it, but then we understand down the road that God was right and not answering our prayers. So that's what I mean by the internal part of it. Does that make sense? We can all identify with that, right? So God knows us better than ourselves. So how do we amplify that? How do we make that better? How do we take that truth within our own lives and get to know ourselves better the way that God knows us? The only way that I can see to do that is just to be always honest with God. To understand that God, you know, by the grace of God, in your my life and in your life, go I, go you, go me. And understanding that within that grace, somehow that truth is revealed to us. Because truth is knowable, maybe not to the completeness and to the maturity that God wants us to have, but truth is knowable in ourselves. And truth is also revealed. And maybe that's where we get to that point where God just says, you know what, I know all about you, let me handle it, let me take care of it. You can pray for all of those silly things that you want to pray for, and you can ask for faith, and you can ask for strength, and you can ask for courage, You can ask for comfort. You can ask for vision. But you know what? Everything is based on my will for your life. And I think that's a revelation that you and I need to expound upon every day in our lives. The revelation that somehow, even through the most difficult circumstances, God is working his will for our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want those difficult circumstances. I don't want those challenges. I want life to be easy. I don't want life to be difficult. But yet we find ourselves dealing with those things, those challenges, things not being easy, just by the fact that we're just going through life. We're experiencing life the way God wants us to experience it. And somehow, the end result will be those things in which we just praise God, and we understand that as we walk with God, we truly do walk by faith and not by sight. And then we see the truth being revealed, the nature and the true nature of God in our lives, which leads to that completion, which leads to that maturity. Because within our own lives, we know that we are walking in that truth if we are consistent in what we believe in. The practices in our lives, the things that we do every day. And I am not perfect. There's not a day that goes by that I don't say something that I don't regret, that I get a little snappy, I say something stupid, I shouldn't have said that, I say something that's inappropriate, language comes out of my mouth that I don't want my mother to hear because if my mother was with me today, she would slap my face, put soap in my mouth. You get all that, right? And we do those things. But yet I know that God is working on me so that I can be consistent in my walk with God. The consistent in the truth that God wants me to reveal of what is taking place internally. Internally. And then we get to the other part that God wants us to think about, and those things that are eternal. The things that truly matter. And Christ tells us here in the scriptures that he came and that his kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of heaven is what God wants us to focus on. Are we doing those things for the eternal part of our lives? The things that truly matter. You know, we have sang a bunch of hymns, and it kind of gives us the course of our lives in each one of those hymns. We have a beginning, we have a middle, and we have an end. We have the external, we have the internal, and then we have the eternal. And in the same way, God wants us to take that truth of what is eternal, the eternity part of our lives, the kingdom of God part of our lives, the kingdom of heaven part of our lives, because that is something that you and I should never forget. It is an essential part of what we believe in. And as we have talked about over the last couple of weeks, the whole idea of understanding the miracles that can take place in your life and in my life. And part of understanding the miracles that God has working in our lives is for us to understand those things that are eternal in our lives. Because that's where our focus should be. That's where our vision should be. And yes, we go through the daily routine, the things that we have to do, the maintenance things of life. We do all of those things. But in that process, we don't forget those things that last forever, that last for eternity. I've been here at this chapel for a long time. And a lot of chaplains that I have served with, they are now with the Lord. And if they could provide any message or insight to me or you, they would say that what truly matters is those things that are eternal. And I don't want to forget that. Because there were times as we work together, those chaplains that are now with the Lord, is their focus was not those things that were eternal. But they are now. And that is a reality that you and I cannot escape. But God tells us not to be fearful of those things that are eternal. Put your faith and your trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you don't have to worry about what's going to take place in the eternal. Because then we understand and we identify what is essential. Because your kingdom and my kingdom is not of this world. So our attitudes and our actions, those things that are external, those things that are internal, those things that are eternal, needs to rely totally on our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we begin with that truth, we can see that we are on the path of completion and of maturity that God wants us to have in our daily walk with Him. And it is not perfection. You and I will never be perfect. You and I will never be complete until we are fulfilling God's will for our lives in that which is eternal. Then we will be made perfect. I don't know what perfect is, but I know it's going to be what God wants it to be for my life and for your life. But yet we strive for that. We strive to do those things that bring honor and glory to God. We strive for those things that bring holiness and righteousness to God. Not the things that we do in our own strength or in our own power, but it's the Holy Spirit that is working daily in our lives that reminds us of the truth that we are to have in all aspects of our lives. So that we can truly say, may we welcome what has been, may we welcome what is, and may we welcome what we hope will be in heaven for all of us. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion, understanding that it gives us a wonderful opportunity to publicly testify that we want to walk in truth in all aspects of our lives. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that we are here, and God, we just want to have a beginning in truth. And Lord, in that process, we confess those things that have separated us from that truth. Those things that we have done incorrectly, the wrongs that we have done, the sins that we have committed. Lord, we just say, forgive us. Forgive me. Because God, that is the path of truth that you want us to be on. Understanding the forgiveness that we have for all the things in our lives that we've done wrong. And God, help us to reveal that truth in our lives by forgiving others. And as we've talked about before, Lord, that forgiveness is giving up the perceived right to get even. It's giving up the whole idea that we are owed something, and it is a canceled debt. Because God, we know that you've done those three things for us because of what your Son did on the cross, that we should do those same three things for others. Help us, God, to do that. And thank you that we can have this communion together. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 389, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Gracious God, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for the beautiful hymns that we have sung together to begin this new year walking in your truth. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Michelle, good morning. And there we go. Now, good morning. There we go. Got that right. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549. The doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Our call to worship is hymn number 633. Why are the nations assembling? The peoples mustering troops, the kings of the earth declaring positions. The rulers consult together against the Lord, against His anointed. Let us tear off their fetters. Let us cast off their bonds. He who dwells in the heavens is laughing. The Master derides them all. He speaks to them in His wrath. In His anger, He puts them in fear. I have anointed my King, O Zion, my holy. You are my son today. I bring you to birth. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 480, Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Number 480, Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And Lord, we individually have many different challenges, things that we're trying to overcome, things that we're trying to figure out. And God, I would ask that you would give us that wisdom and that discernment that can only come from your presence in our lives, and to help us with those things, to give us that understanding that we need to have and that desire to make the right decisions, not only for us, but for those that are in our lives. And Lord, we lift up those requests to you. Lord, we think of other patients throughout this medical center. Lord, we lift them up to you in the same way. They, too, are trying to figure out different types of circumstances in their lives. And God, we'd ask that you would give them that same discernment and wisdom and understanding that they need. And God, you remind us again and again that there is no need too small or no need too big that we can't pray to you in prayer. And Lord, remind us of that, not just during this time of worship, but during the day, that you want us just to call out to you in prayer, silently, for the things that we're trying to work through. And Lord, we are so grateful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 485, Take My Life and Let It Be. Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. Came near and said to them, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful for the hymns that we have sung together, the prayers that we have offered, the scriptures that we have read. We now I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the last week or so I've been away, took some vacation, and I was trying to figure out a cute way to describe where I've been. So I left the rat race and I went to the place where the mouse is. Does that make sense? Can anybody not figure that out? I left the rat race, and I went to the place where the mouse is. And I went to the place where the mouse is in Florida. So I didn't go to the one in California. I went to where the mouse was in Florida. And so it was interesting, as we were there for a couple of days, in that age where the questions are just nonstop. In fact, I must admit, he reminds me of myself because he wants to know what's going to happen next. So in other words, he wants to know, okay, Grandpa, what are we doing today? You tell him, okay, what are we going to do after that? What are we going to do after that? What are we going to do after that? And so I was commenting to my wife, I'm like, you know what, I guess the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree because I asked those very same questions. But because I'm an adult, they're not annoying, right? About our grandson asking those questions, because he always wants to have in his head what's planned out. He always wants to know what's going on in advance. And I think all of us, in many ways, are like that. We all want to know what's going to happen in advance. We're always trying to figure out within our lives what's next. But God also wants us to enjoy the present moment that we have. And we've talked about before in this chapel that the present moment is all we have together. And what's interesting is I find it very special when people come to worship because you are sharing your time not only with me, but with each other. And as you get older, realize not that time is short, but time is shorter than it was before as we grow old. Amen? Okay, yeah. So we think about those things like, okay, Lord, you're going to give me 10 more years, you're going to give me 15 more years, you're going to give me 20 more years. And so all of a sudden, time has a value that it wasn't before when we were younger. And so as we were thinking about the things that were taking place there at the place with the mouse, and as my grandson was asking those questions, I paused to think about, why do we want to know what's next? And I think part of it is for us to understand that we want to have some type of significance and purpose in this life. I think all of us desire to have what is more than what it appears to be. I think all of us want to have that purpose and that significance, even if it's in a small place, even if it's in a small role. We all want to have a sense of value about ourselves in terms of who we are. And so therefore, we're trying to anticipate what's going to happen next because maybe somehow we can add some type of value to that, or we can add some. Now, we probably don't think of it in those terms. You know, when we ask questions about what's going to happen next, or when are we going to eat, what's going to be on the TV later on, all those kind of things. But I think it's important for us to realize that many times, even though we may not cognitively be asking the question, our behavior is dictating that. Our behavior is saying, you know, I want to have some kind of significance. I want to have some type of purpose. Basically, I want life to have some type of meaning. And the Scripture's command, he gives us his intent. And for those of us who have served in the military, I think we understand what a commander's intent is. And hopefully, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, that Christ is the commander-in-chief in your life and that you understand the commander's intent. And he wants us to go out to everyone. He wants us to make disciples everywhere. He wants to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he reminds us that our mission is to teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. And that should give us that significance that we want to have. That should give us enough contentment that we say, Lord, we thank you, and I thank you for the place in which you have put me. That you've given me that significance. You've given me that purpose. You've given me that understanding. But if you're anyone like me, and I'm not asking you to be like me, I think we always are looking and striving for something a little bit more than that. We're looking for who we are. Perhaps maybe we think that we deserve it. Perhaps we think that we are smarter than the average bear, and then there should be a sense that we should have more of what's going on. We should have more significance. We should have a more place and being and purpose. But God tells us, just by this scripture, that he gives us a very simple truth for you and I to observe and to be content in that truth. To have that sense of significance, or any worse, our righteousness is truly as filthy rags. In fact, for me personally, I have a little pet peeve, and that is those people that walk around with self-righteousness that they think that they're better than everyone else. But God reminds us that we are all equal in his eyes. And we have all been given the same command. God all wants us to follow that we're all looking for. And it comes with being invited. And Christ, through the presence of his Holy Spirit, is inviting each and every one of us. For none of us have been forsaken. That significance that we have in Christ rests in the fact that God wants you to be one of his sons or one of his daughters. And in that, we are to find that contentment and understand the significance and the purpose that God has for us. Never a numbers game with God. In fact, there have been a couple times when people have commented here, not that I am some great person that preaches great sermons, but they've asked me, is this all you do, is come here and take care of patients and preach on Sunday morning? And I say yes. And there's almost a sense of, I don't want to say what a waste, but there's a sense of, don't you want to do something greater than that? Don't you want to do something bigger than that? And the answer to that question is no. Because each and every one of you is just as, and whether I have all of you here or whether there's only one, and sometimes there's only been one, you get the same message. You get the same treatment. But I must admit that when there's more than one, you kind of feed off the crowd, right? You appreciate, you have that sense of, hey, you know what? Somebody's listening to me out there, and this is pretty cool. But within our own lives, though, the contentment and the significance that God wants us to have, understand is that each and every one of us are equal in God's eyes. And that we've been given that same command, that very same command, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have. We find that purpose. We have that sense that God has truly invited each and every one of us. The scriptures give us the parable of the wedding banquet where everything was set up and the guests were invited and no guests came. You remember that parable? And the person that was setting up the banquet told the people to go out and invite everybody you can. I don't care who they are. I don't care what walk of life they come from. Everybody is welcome to come to this banquet. Same way God invites each and every one of us. Because we are that special. We are that important that God wants us to come and to feast with Him in terms of the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And we find that significance because we are invited to be one with Him. And within that relationship, we sense a presence of God in our lives and we're like, wow, God, I didn't know it could be like this. I didn't know, God, I could draw this close to You. And then when we ask our questions about God, what is next for me? What am I going to be doing tomorrow? What am I going to be doing next week? What am I going to be doing next month? What am I going to be doing next year? We still ask those questions, but there's not that sense of frustration when we ask them. Because we ask them with all confidence that God will take care of those things for us step by step. We do those things that we need to do, right? We have a responsibility to be aware of our acts in our lives that we can control. But there's so much in our life that is outside our control. And that's where we need to put our trust. That's where we need to put our faith. For God to give us the wisdom and the things that we can control in terms of how we relate to each other, how we respond to one another, how we love one another. But then there's that other part of things that we can't control, which is just kind of out there going around, and we get so wound up and uptight about those things that we can't even begin to influence and touch. And that's because it is through prayer that we can influence those things that we cannot touch. It is in prayer that we find our way in terms of the significance and the purpose and the contentment that God wants us to have, that we can do something about the greater world that you and I are a part of. We have our own individual interactions that we do, and God reminds us again and again that we are to do so in love, embracing one another. But that doesn't mean that we disavow the principles that we have. What it does mean is if you and I want to have a virtuous life, in other words, a good life, is that we have to have understanding. And one of the things I think that we need to understand is that God does love us just for who we are. All the things that we have done wrong, all the things that we have messed up, God still loves us. And that love never goes away. That sense of significance never goes away. Because God wants to play a significant part in your life. God wants to give you that purpose. God wants to give you that relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can sense God's understanding in our lives. We still ask questions, but those questions now become less because we have the faith that we never thought that we could have before. We have that discernment and that understanding, and we begin to live a virtuous life, one that is reflective of our true relationship with God in terms of how we interact with each other. And then with all of that and all of that taking place, we just see, wow, God, thank You so much. And we reflect on the glory of God in our lives. The glory of God that God wants us to respond to every day. Just to pray. praise him, just to thank him. And we do that when we come here to worship. We do our best to sing hymns to praise God, to read the scriptures to praise God, to offer our prayers to praise God. We offer sermons with the purpose to praise God and just to thank him for this time that we've had. In our own lives, all the things that we want to pursue, the causes that God has given us to maybe be that significant person in that relationship or play that very small role, but yet within that role there's a sense of greater significance and purpose that God wants you to interact. And you and I can change people's lives for the better just by being who we are. Because we need to understand that God has called you and me to that sense of significance and purpose. And it is a privilege. It is a privilege and an honor to be one with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is something that you and I need to ponder and respect and just to say thank you. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and for loving me just the way that I am. Because you know I've made mistakes, God. You know that I constantly get it wrong more times than I get it right. But I want to thank you for the way that you love me and the way that you care for me. And as we've talked about before in this chapel, then we see the little miracles that begin to take place in our lives. The interaction that we have with other people. The things that take place that can only come from God, and understanding that in that relationship, we can sense that presence of God. And it's almost like God reaches down and touches us and says, hey, you know what? A miracle is going to happen in your life. It may not be defined as something miraculous, but you know what? We have a lot of little miracles that are taking place all around us. And we just need to ask God to give us the, as we went out to see the fireworks on the lake that is there. And it's a very kind of special trip, and we're actually given kind of a, what would you call him? Someone to make the cruise a little bit more livelier and entertaining. And his name is Patch the Pirate. And so Patch the Pirate was on this little small boat with us and kind of making us think about all the different things that was taking place. And one of the things that he shared is he shared what he was doing. Even though he was in his work, even though he was in his role, he was playing Patch the Pirate. But I think there was a sense that he had that that purpose, he had that significance, and he had that sense of contentment that allowed him to enjoy what he was doing. And in the same way, if you want some type of measuring stick or rod in terms of where you are at in terms of your contentment and your significance in your everyday lives, do you have that sense of purpose you are right now? Do you have that sense of understanding that God has placed you where you are because he just wants you to work through some things to make your life better and to be open to those things that you might be learning that might make your life better? And that's really what God wants us to do every day, is to have that sense of significance, to have that purpose, to have that contentment, so that you and I can go forth and that he's always with us, he has never forsaken us. And until we are reunited with him, the presence of his Spirit will be with us. So it's my hope and prayer as we go forth the rest of this day and as we go forth in this week that we really understand that you have significance, you have purpose, I have significance, I have purpose, and in that you love us and that you care for us just the way we are. And God, I would ask that you would give us that sense of significance that we need to have, so that we can understand how it is to walk closer to you with the time that you've given us. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are and giving us that significance. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Grow in souls fresh, glowing water into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. That in salvation's full order. Join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Given to you shall be given. God is beloved, Son gave. Grace for seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Glad in salvation still armor. Join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Not as his worship, his love. He gave himself for your ransom. Gave up his glory above. Lay down his life without murmur. You from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Let in salvation's fill honor. Join in the battle for truth.
You know, the story behind that hymn is one of the previous chaplains that used to work here, that was his favorite hymn. And he was a recovering, reminded us of the significance and the purpose and the contentment that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to live our lives that way. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
good morning. It is wonderful to have all of you here this morning. Please join me in the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. The doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 710. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Be silent before God, my soul. He bears my salvation. Yes, he is my rock and help, my fortress. I will not be shaken. Whoever sits in the shadow of the highest, who sleeps in the shade of the Almighty, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Confess that the Lord is good, that his kindness endures. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 422, I Know Not Why, God's Wondrous Grace. Hymn number 422, I Know Not Why, God's Wondrous Grace. Gracious God, it is good that we can come and worship you in your house this morning. And Lord, we think of the needs that we have in our lives. God, we think of those needs in many ways, the physical, the financial, the spiritual, the emotional. But Lord, many times we just seem to be so frustrated with our circumstances that we try to do our best, but it just doesn't seem to be good enough. And Lord, we just cry out to you right now because in our frustrations we are turning to you to give us that reassurance, that confidence, that discernment, that strength that we need to have to overcome those frustrations, those challenges that we deal with on a daily basis. Because God, it is those little things that can be so overpowering in our lives. And God, we just put them before you right now. Lord, we do also have the larger things, the big things, our wishes, hopes, and dreams. And God, we just bring them before you right now in prayer. And Lord, we know that the Spirit just speaks on our behalf to you. God, we are just asking for that Spirit to speak, that many times words can not convey how we truly feel about all of our needs. Lord, we know that our Spirit is conveying those things to you right now. God, we think of family members and of friends, of their little needs and their big needs. God, we think of patients throughout this medical center, the staff that are working here today, the families that will be visiting. Lord, we lift all their needs up to you as well. And God, we do not take for granted this opportunity that we have to worship freely. We are so thankful for all the men and women that have served this country in peace and war, that have guaranteed us one of the freedoms that we have, to worship you freely wherever we are. And we praise you for that, and we thank you for their service and for their sacrifice. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 205, I Love to Tell the Story. 205, I Love to Tell the Story.
Of Jesus and
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, starting with verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, it has been so good that we've had this time of worship thus far. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that we have read, the hymns that we have sung together, the prayers that we have offered together. Lord, I would ask that you would just continue to help me and that you would bless all of us as we want to continue this act of worship. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I was reading something the other day, and it was a quote from Mother Teresa, attributed to her. And she says, peace begins with a smile. So I'm going to ask all of you this morning to smile. At least try to smile. Can you smile? Peace begins with a smile. And as silly as that sounds, I have actually been trying to do that. In fact, my wife made a comment to me the other day that when I see you smiling, I'll know that you are trying to find peace. And the answer to that question is yes. And I want us to think about that for a moment, because I can only testify about what's been happening in my life, but there are times that I just get frustrated for the way things are going. There are times that I just can't seem to find peace in the circumstances that I am in. I feel overwhelmed by people, places, things that I have to do. And I just wish sometimes that I could just take a break from life and just do the things that I want to do. Does anybody else feel like that? Where you just feel at times you just want to be able to take a break from life and you just want to be able to do the things that you want to do. And then as I was reading about this, the whole idea about peace beginning with a smile, I thought a little bit differently about my circumstances. The things that I have been facing, the things that I will be facing, looking for a way to somehow try to get out of them. But yet then I thought about the whole idea that peace begins with a smile. And it truly does. And I would suggest to you that you should try it for a few days. That when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling frustrated, when things are not working out the way that you've planned them to work out, when people just seem to be not listening to you or not hearing you or not accepting you for who you are, try that smile. As stupid as you may look in the mirror when you give yourself that smile, give yourself that smile. Because I think all of us are looking for that peace. The peace that we all want to have. All of us are looking for that contentment, regardless of whatever circumstances that we may have, whether we have plenty or whether we have want. We all want that peace. We all want to have that satisfaction in our lives, wherever we are, whatever we are doing. Because we want to feel that sense of peace, that sense of contentment. Because we know what it's like not to be satisfied. We know how frustrating it is. We know how impatient we become about our circumstances when we want to have something right now and we can't have it. Peace does begin with a smile. Contentment begins with that smile. Because it is the peace in our hearts that truly identify who we are. And when all of it is said and done, the final analysis of our lives, it's not you and anybody else. It's not me and you. It's not you and me. The final analysis between us and God is what truly matters anyway. And if we think on that thought, in the final analysis, it is between you and God anyway. It is between me and God anyway. That's truly how we should measure whether we are successful in our lives, not by the standard that the world gives. Because as we look at the standard that the world gives, you and I will never be content. You and I will never be happy. Because the world will never be able to satisfy our desires. It takes something different. It takes a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That final analysis that it is between you and God, it is between me and God. That peace that we want to have, that identifies our relationship that we have with God or the relationship that we don't have with God. It is between you and God. It is between me and God. God is the ultimate judge, not me, not someone else. Nobody knows the experiences that you have felt. Nobody understands what you have been through other than you and God. And for those people that have the aloofness, the self-righteousness of judgment, woe to them. But those of us that know that we are unworthy of God's love, we know that within our own everyday lives we struggle with all of the things that take place, the temptations and the desires that we have, the wantings that we have. We try to have them satisfied, and we know that we can't do it without God. I would say that you are on the right track. That you are truly looking for that peace that begins with a smile, that surpasses all of our understanding about what life is and what life can give us. Because all of us want to feel a part of something that is greater than ourselves. All of us want to have that gratification that we are doing the things that God wants us to do. The satisfaction that our desires are in tune with the things that God wants us to be. And we need to examine what our desires are. We need to examine our egos, the things that we are trying to seek. Are you looking for those things that just totally gratify yourself? So people can look and say how great you are, or how wonderful you are, or how much money you have, or what a leader you are. We know that those things will never satisfy. The satisfaction that we are looking for comes from those things that comes from inside of us, in our personal relationship with God that we have through His Son, Jesus Christ. And for those of us that have that relationship through Jesus Christ, what are we doing with it? Do we understand that it is there for us to use for our betterment in our relationship with God? It is there for us to use in our betterment with each other, the relationships that God puts us in. If we could only set ourselves aside and allow God to truly work through us, work in us, But the contentment that God wants us to have comes only through that personal relationship. It doesn't come through our position, our power, our education, our wealth. None of those things. Because we know that those things will not last. If we truly believe in an eternal God, if we truly believe in an eternal life, those things that the world says we should have, those acknowledgments from the world that they are telling us that we need to have, that we need to have that position of power, that position of wealth, that title, we know in the end that those things are truly meaningless. Because in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It is between me and God. And in that analysis, God wants us to be satisfied and content every day. Because if we are not, God is trying to point out to us something that perhaps we need to work on. I was thinking about the song Blessings by Laura Story. You know that song, right? I don't know all the lyrics, but the summarization of this is, you know, all of those sleepless nights that we have, all those times that we cry out to God, all those things that go wrong into our lives, perhaps they truly are a blessing in disguise. Because if our circumstances brings us closer to God, isn't that a true blessing? If the things that I am struggling with, that you are struggling with, makes us cry out to God in frustration, God help me because I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything else. And then God all of a sudden reminds us that He is always there with us. He is always by our side. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. And we cry out to God and we want to weep and we cry ourselves to sleep. Or perhaps we get so angry and frustrated. Those are the same emotions. They're just portrayed in different ways. Crying is just the same as being angry because what it reveals is there's a personal rejection that you're feeling, that you are hurting deep down inside about the circumstances that you are in and that they are not working out the way that you want them to work out. And whether you cry or whether you get angry, you are hurting inside. And that's the time that God can come in because you've acknowledged that you are hurting. You've acknowledged with the frustration and you're exhibiting it by those two extreme emotions. And many times, whether we are crying or whether we are exhibiting our anger, God gives us that still, small voice that speaks to us. If we truly are honest with ourselves, what are you crying about? What are you angry about? God, life is just not working out the way that I want it to. Look how old I am, God. I'm still struggling with the same things I struggled with as a teenager. Isn't things going to get better, God? The answer to that question is yes. They are going to get better. It may not be on the timeline that I want. It may not be on the timeline that you want. But things are going to get better. And it is in that trust that God wants us to have. It is in that faith that we can see God's strength being put to use. It is in those trials and tribulations and those rejections that we have from the world and from the people that are the closest to us that hurt us, that drive us down. And we cry out to God, God, I thought I was doing the right thing, but Lord, I'm not being blessed. I'm being hurt. But God says, you are being blessed. Because it is in your weakness that He is made strong. It is in my weakness when God comes into my life, if I say, God, please come in. I can no longer do it on my own. And He gives us that strength that can only come from Him, something that is greater than ourselves. Then all of a sudden, we seem to be a little better. It's not perfect. We're still struggling with things. But then we see the circumstances in a different way. We see that those circumstances are truly a blessing because we are learning from them. We are maturing from them. We are growing in Christ from them. And then we see the satisfaction that God wants us to have, the contentment that God wants us to have, the process of just learning to walk with God, to be satisfied in all of those circumstances, whether it is when we have plenty or whether it is we have want, that we can do all things through Christ that gives us that strength. And then we can have that peace that begins with a smile, knowing of the reassurance that we have with Christ, that no matter what man can do, if you know Jesus Christ as your own individual Savior, then no one can ever take that away from you. Christ paid that price for your separation and for my separation from God. And if we accept that and we understand that and we believe that, no one can ever take that away from us. It is salvation that we will have into eternity. And that is the hope that we all have. The hope that gives us that satisfaction. That faith that gives us that satisfaction. That peace that gives us that satisfaction. It's what we all want. When it's all said and done, it's not about the money. It's not about the position or the power or the education or the title. When it's all said and done, you and I are all looking for the same thing. We're looking for that satisfaction that we want to have in life. And that satisfaction can only be found as we look to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to minister to our hearts, so that we can minister to others, so that we can serve each other, so people can see the legitimate smile that God wants us to have, that truly does give us that peace in our relationship with Him. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we partake together as a body of believers in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that You have reminded us the satisfaction that You truly do want us to have, the contentment that You want us to have. And God, it does begin with a smile when we acknowledge every moment of every day of Your presence in our lives. Forgive us, God, when we have been looking through our frustrations, through our circumstances, through our tears, through our anger. We've been looking the wrong way because You want us to always look to You. Lord, thank You for this time we can have a communion to publicly explain and to identify our relationship with You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for forgiving us of all of our sins and just loving us for the way that we are. In Your Son's name, Amen. received from the Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 140, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." 140, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." Thankful that you've given us this opportunity to just open our hearts to you, to see the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And Lord, I would just ask that you would give us that contentment and that satisfaction that you want us to have, that we may see life the way that you want us to see it. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.